Welcome to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome back
to the Political Cesspool radio program. I'm your host, James Edwards. It's Saturday evening, January 26th. Is it a historic night for the cesspool? We'll find out. You know, I've had guests on that I thought would certainly make news, and it didn't. And then I've had guests on where I thought, well, this is a great interview, nothing too exciting. And then it made national news. You know, I remember the first time we had Hutton Gibson on, Mel Gibson's father. I thought that was going to be just one of the biggest things that ever happened to us because Mel Gibson was making so much news at the time. And nothing. And then Hutton Gibson comes on the second time, and I figure, well, they didn't cover him the first time, so why cover him this time? And then it made such big news. Entertainment Tonight was calling me to have me on their show. It made 250 newspapers. We were getting Perez Hilton. We were getting spoofs on late-night comedy shows like Jimmy Kimmel Live. I mean, it made – that's as big as you can get. And I didn't think it was going to be anything because I thought it was just, you know, the first one didn't, so why would they say – you can't predict these things. Will tonight's interview with Alveda King – make news? I guess we'll see. It won't make news based upon what she or I had to say during that first segment, that's for sure. It was pretty much nondescript. We talked for the remainder of the first hour about what I would have liked to have talked to her about if she had remained on the show for a little bit longer. But I'll tell you this, to say the least, the political cesspool has been exciting in 2013. You review our shows thus far, going back to the first week of January, Kevin MacDonald on, Dr. MacDonald, followed by Jared Taylor in the second week. Last week I did the first hour of the show in the car. The incomparable Sam Bushman came on and did an incredible hour. And I want to mention that to you, Keith, because I hadn't had a chance to talk to you about it yet. I listened to the second hour of last week's show in the broadcast archives, and I must say the show is so much better when I'm not a part of it because you and Sam absolutely knocked it out of the park. Great radio. And then we replayed a broadcast with Nick Griffin, which was our most popular interview of all time. And so that was the third week. And then this week, the fourth show of the new year, we have Martin Luther King's niece on. What will next week have in store for us? I don't know. But I'll tell you, Keith, I'm feeling as though now, as I've had a few minutes to reflect, and we did talk about what I'd hoped to infuse into the conversation with Alveda King, I feel as though I let, in many ways, the audience down. I just didn't get to the red meat stuff. I wish I'd had more time. 8 minutes is not enough time in broadcast radio. By the time you introduce a guest, you mention your areas of agreement, which I felt was important to do at the onset, the interview's over.
I think you're being too rough on yourself, James. If you'll recall, we have been accused of ambush journalism before. I remember when we had Alana Mercer, the pseudo of paleoconservative, who really is a libertarian at best, from South Africa, a Jewish lady of Jewish origin, and she claimed that she was lured in with one interview with Gentleman Jim Edwards here, and that then Keith Alexander, the White Al Sharpton, jumped on her later on. But, you know, the truth of the matter is, and we all acknowledge it here at the radio station, the real broadcast professional among all of us is you, James. You're the guy that's smooth as silk. You're slick as a peeled onion. You're better than Sean Hannity. You're better than Mark Levin. You're better than Laura Ingraham. You're better than Bill O'Reilly. You're better than Sean Hannity. The only person that I can think of that, at least in technical prowess, compares with you is Rush Limbaugh. You know, you never, you've always got something interesting to say. You're a nice guy, and you can't stop being a nice guy. I'm the type of person, I guess, being a lawyer, that I can turn it off and on, but getting hard with them. But on the other hand, you can't drown a person in 30 seconds, and you can't nail a guest in 1 8-minute segment like that. I think it was, these people know what they're doing. This is the type of thing, quite frankly, they taught and they learned at the Highlander Folk School. They knew how to make responses that would appeal to what Rush Limbaugh calls low-information voters. You might call them typical doofuses out there, and get by. So, these people know how to keep the ball in the air at least for 8 minutes. If you can't do that, You know, it's like trying to drown somebody in 30 seconds. If you can't hold your breath for 30 seconds, man, you're in a pitiful shape, you know. And that's exactly what – that's why her handlers just wanted her to have that 1 8-minute segment in there, because they knew that even, you know, almost anyone can keep the ball in the air for that long.
Well, Keith, thanks for your comments on that. And I appreciate your honest assessment there, and we'll move forward from that. We spent far too much time. Eddie here, we got to put a bridle, we got to put a bit in his mouth and ride him like a horse. I mean, this man is so excited about what's forthcoming in the third hour tonight that he showed up to work 3 hours early. He came here an hour before the show. He's sitting here till 8 o'clock Central Time. That's how excited he is about his bit. But, you know, the thing, you know, what's amazing is that as we sit here in this broadcast studio tonight, you and I have the only two headsets, Keith. For Eddie to be able to hear the interview with me and Alveda King, he had to go down to the parking lot and sit in his truck. And he did that. He did that. He did that. He went down. He said he was actually sitting with Alveda King. She was in the parking lot with him. Well, anyway, what more can be said about that? I want to mention, too, though, you know, one fact that we are forgetting in terms of the great shows and great moments we've had so far this year, I think that one, it may or may not make news. We'll see what happens over the course of the next week. You know, it puts the media in an awful predicament. Yeah, when Pat Buchanan comes on the show, he's going to get shouted down as a racist. They're going to shut down Martin Luther King's niece as a racist for talking to me. Pat did no more, no less. But we'll see. We'll see if it makes news. It might pass over us like the plague. You know, we might water off a duck's back. You might not hear about this. It might be flushed down the memory hole. You just never know what the media is going to do. If you didn't want them to cover you, they would. If you wanted them to give you a little attention, they wouldn't. You can't buy their time. And that's why, frankly, Keith, I turn down most media appearances. I get all the time. Channel 5, the NBC affiliate here in Memphis, they want me on all the time. I always say no. I mean, to hell with them. What have they ever done for me except give me a hard time? And I'm not going to give them what they want. I'm not going to give them an open target. But if you wanted them to do something for you, you couldn't beg them or pay them enough.
Well, what it really gets down to is who can predict what will turn on or turn off somebody like Perez Hilton. I can't think like these people. So on the other hand, I can't predict what they'll find newsworthy or not. But you're liable to see the TMZ crew come out, or you're liable to be listening to nothing but crickets in the background. But that doesn't matter. We're going to do what we do, and we're going to drive forward without fear or favor. We're going to make sure that the word gets out. Well, you know, you said there are plenty of people that are towing the politically correct line out there. On the other hand, as far as being an advocate for the white Gentile population of America, we're just about the whole game right now. We're the lone voice.
This program, this network, absolutely the only mainstream media voice our people have. And that's why we should be supported, folks. That's why we should be supported. Please support us. We're out here fighting for you. Stand with us. We'll be back with more right after this.
If you're at all like me, you have a tough time remembering appointments and events. But ladies and gentlemen, I have the answer. It's a premier service on the internet called Memo to Me. It's free. You ought to try it. Now I never miss the honey-do items for my wife or the important business meetings. They have strict privacy protection. That means they will release your email address to no one ever. You will not get spam because of Memo to Me. Unmatched dependability. Ladies and gentlemen, these folks have been around since 1998, and they are absolutely up online all the time to send you your reminders and appointments. They have rock-solid reliability. They have 5 redundant internet connections, diesel-powered generators backing up the system. I'm telling you, Memo to Me is the premier reminder service on the internet. It's free. You ought to give it a try. And, oh, by the way, if you're not available at your computer to get your email reminders, they can even send a reminder to your cell phone or pager. I use MemoToMe.com daily and highly recommend it to you. MemoToMe.com. Memo to Me.
When camping overnight, your tent is one of the most important items you'll have with you. That's why it's vital to have a quality tent that is easy to carry and will withstand the elements. Teton Sports offers top quality tents for any of your camping needs. The Outfitter XXL cot tent weighs only 4 pounds, but provides plenty of space for a comfortable night's sleep. Teton Sports also has a 6-man tent, which weighs only 14 pounds for camping overnight with friends and family. Each tent is easy to assemble and is easily transportable, and each is made with 1200mm coated polyester, providing strong and durable protection from weather and cold. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, backpacks, duffels, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Wherever your outdoor adventures take you, you will be safe and comfortable in a quality tent from Teton Sports. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Yeah?
Did you want to see me, sir?
Well, I did, but now that I do, I'm not so sure.
Sir?
Johnson, I got a mission for you that could change your life.
Oh, good, sir.
It involves traveling halfway around the world without so much as half a clue of where you're going or what you're going to do when you get there.
Situation normal, sir?
Uh-huh. Well, I'll be leading this mission, Johnson, so I'll be telling you what to do.
You, sir?
That's right, Johnson, and I say first things first.
Oh, good plan, sir.
And what I say is first is food. Always remember that, Johnson. Food is a big deal.
Sir, my brother-in-law can get us a really good deal on some surplus MREs.
Johnson, if you've got half a brain and that empty head of yours, you'll call the freeze-dry guy like I did. That food is better for you, it rehydrates faster, and it's good, Johnson, and it keeps for up to 30 years.
Will we be gone that long, sir?
Well, I hope not. Now get your supplies organized and meet me down to the pier at dawn on Sunday. We sail at sunrise.
Yes, sir.
This adventure is brought to you by the freeze-dry guy. Call 866-404-3663 or visit freezedryguy.com.
When the truth is found to be... Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Born on the mountaintop in Tennessee, green estate in the land of the free, raised in the woods so's he knew every tree, killed him a bar when he was only 3. Davy Crockett, king of the wild frontier, fought single-handed through the Indian war, till the Creeks was whipped and peace was in store. And while he was handling this risky chore, made himself a legend forevermore. Davy Crockett, the man who don't know fear. He went off to Congress and he served a spell, fixing up the government and laws as well. Took over Washington, so we heard tell, and patched up the crack in the Liberty Bell. Davy Crockett, seeing his duty clear. When he'd come home, his politicking done, the Western March had just begun. So he packed his gear and his trusty gun, and lit out the grinning to follow the sun. Davy Crockett, head of west again.
You know, I know the year is young, and we're only 4 weeks into 2013, but one of the highlights has to be Keith's a cappella rendition of the Ballad of Davy Crockett last week. He sang the first verse during the first hour, the second verse during the second, and that was the entire and complete Ballad of Davy Crockett there for you here on the Political Cesspool radio program. And Keith, you know, Eddie said, you know, let's play a song for the sheriff that's coming up in the third hour. I said, how about we sing The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance, you know, because that makes me think of a lawman. Sam Bushman, I know that you're not mic'd up, but you heard our practice. You heard us singing in the commercial break, did you not? So we sang the great late Gene Pitney, the man who shot Liberty Valance. You know, I actually sang that at my wedding. You were there. You were at my wedding, Eddie. You should remember that. You might have, you know, Eddie was probably, you know, drinking too much that night. But actually, my pastor would not let us have any beer or wine at the wedding. So I know it was a dry wedding. So I know you must have left before I got to that. But that's one of my dad's all-time favorite songs. My dad's a big Western fan. And so in honor of my father, we karaoke was at my wedding reception. We had a karaoke place, and so I sang the Man Who Shot Liberty Valance. So I love that song. We sang it during the commercial break. Keith, you sang the Ballad of Davy Crockett last week. I don't know where I'm going with this, but I'm gonna get. Make mention of that, and then I'm gonna get to my point.
I want to thank Courtney of Alabama from Alabama who complimented me on my singing, which I can, find hard to comprehend, actually. But I have out in my car right now a audio CD that has all of these great Western ballads. I love the Western and country Western. It's got Ringo with Lorne Green. A Gunslinger's Prayer by Lorne Green, Man Who Shot Liberty Valance by Gene Pitney, Hanging Tree by Marty Robbins, Big Iron, that's another one. Then I have, Gunfight at OK Corral and 310 to Yuma by Frankie Lane.
Come here. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to leave it to the audience. I'm not going to say we're going to do something or we're not going to do something. But we've got myself, Keith Alexander, and Eddie the Bombardier Miller in studio right now. I have pulled up on my computer the lyrics to The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance by Gene Pitney. Now, if anyone wants us to sing that song as a trio, we will do an a cappella rendition of The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance during the next segment. Here's how you make it happen. You have to send me an email. James@thepoliticalcesspool.org. It couldn't be easier to remember. James@thepoliticalcesspool.org. If I get just one email from the Political Cesspool listening audience saying, yes, I want you guys to sing the song, we're going to sing it. Now, if I don't get an email, we're not going to sing it, and I'm going to be profoundly disappointed. I'm going to be profoundly disappointed. But if I get one email in the next 5 minutes, we will sing it at the top of the third segment. Okay, that's what we're going to do. And if you don't know the song, we got Eddie here. You know, Eddie, you and I have sang karaoke before Winston Smith and Peter Scoop Stanton. We actually did it at a karaoke bar. I sang Mac the Knife by Bobby Darin. Then we all got up, me, you, Winston, and Peter Scoop Stanton, our correspondent, we all got up and we sang Run Around Sue by Dion DiMucci. Dion. I want one email right now. Please, God, one person listening in the audience, James@thepoliticalcesspool.org. Say, yes, James, sing it. Sing it. I want you to sing it, and we will sing it. And if I don't get the email, we're not going to sing it. Anyway, Keith, I want to talk about All right, Eddie, you're bothering me. Go back over to your side of this. Hey, we have a good time, you know, tonight. Yeah, it's a good time. Well, we're having it's the after party from the Alveda King interview. All right, let's real quick. Davy Crockett. Now, the song talks about him whipping the creeks during the engine wars, Keith. That's one of the verses. Now, could you imagine now if Davy Crockett were alive and the creeks were still in existence? He would have to go to them, offer them his land, his wife, the still beating hearts of his children in order to gain favor with them. But that song celebrates the fact that they fought in a war and he beat the creeks. Now, I have a point to make. I took my daughter. My wife and I took our daughter to the Children's Museum of Memphis a couple of days ago, and we go there every so often because my daughter's too. She likes it. Now, there's this one panel on the wall that talks about the history of the Mid-South. This is Memphis, so they got the history of the Mid-South. It talks about the great and glorious culture of the Chickasaw Indians, who were basically just hunters and gatherers. They were nomads. There was no culture. There was no civilization. They lived in teepees. They chucked spears. But it talks about how great this culture was. Then it fast forwards to Hernando de Soto and the arrival of the Spanish conquistadors and how bad he was. Then it goes into slavery and the Civil War. And then it goes into Martin Luther King. So basically the history of Memphis in the Mid-South is that the Chickasaws were great and we pretty much reached the pinnacle of our culture during the Chickasaw era. Then the racist Spaniards came in and then the racist Southerners. And then there was Martin Luther King, and that's it. So basically, you know, Memphis and the buildings and all the technological achievements that have been made, basically that compares nothing to the glorious civilization of the Chickasaws, who, as I say, were basically hunters and gatherers. Now, the whites didn't arrive in the Mid-South till the 1600s, Keith. That's 1,600 years after the Roman aqueduct and of Pont de Garde. I've been reading a book that my wife gave me. It's called The 100 Wonders of the World. There's a Roman aqueduct that was built in the first century AD. So they had running water. Okay, imagine this. This is 1,600 years before whites came to the Mid-South. There was a spring in this Roman province in France. Consider this masterful achievement. The spring is located at an elevation just 60 feet higher than the Roman city, which lied 30 miles away. So they had, with very primitive tools, had to build an aqueduct to carry the water from the spring to the city 30 miles away that descended an elevation of just 60 feet. So that water flowed down with a gradient of 1 to 3,000, around 1 foot per mile. And the aqueduct supplied the city with water for over 300 years. They figured that out 1,600 years before whites settled the Mid-South, at which point the local indigenous population were, again, living a hunter and gathering existence. And this is the history that my kid has to read about at the Children's Museum of Memphis.
In fact, all of the indigenous population of the New World was at best stuck in the New Stone Age. We'll get back to this after some words from our sponsors that are coming up right now. I hear the music.
Actually, they're going to hear the music after the break because we got a lot of emails saying they want us to sing a song. So hang on, everybody. We're going to do it. Stay tuned.
We're going to do it. We got to do it.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
Did you know that doctors are the leading cause of death? Heart disease is number two, but you don't have to be a victim. Hey, it's Patricia Aiken from CardioPrim. Start reversing the real cause of blocked arteries with CardioPrim Professional Strength Oral Chelation. You can have normal blood pressure and more energy in about a month, naturally, without drugs. It's always a thrill to hear from folks that take CardioPrim for their blood pressure and then can't find their arthritis pain, or find they have normal blood sugar in addition to normal blood pressure, or they don't need their Viagra. It's safe, it's effective, it's affordable, and it's guaranteed. Feel 20 years younger. We've arranged a special offer for Political Cesspool listeners. Go to cardioprim.com and use TPC for login and password, or call us at 702-449-0044. 702-449-0044. cardioprim.com.
get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, folks, in the last segment, now this proves that we can have a good time. I had a couple of dozen emails in the last couple of minutes from people all around the world, from Memphis to Idaho, countries in Europe, you name it, saying sing the song. So we gave them the challenge and they threw down the gauntlet. They want to hear the barbershop. Well, we're not a barbershop quartet. We're a barbershop trio. It's James Edwards, Eddie the Bombardier Miller, Keith Alexander, the Political Cesspool Three. We said in honor of the guest forthcoming during the third and final hour, we're not going to give his name yet, but he's a sheriff of a county in Kentucky that said he's going to defend our rights to the Second Amendment no matter what. We said in honor of him, we'd like to play The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance. But much better than just playing the Gene Pitney classic, we're going to sing it. Yeah, we're going to sing it. That's what we're going to do. Me, Keith, and Eddie are about to sing this thing a cappella. Now, folks, this is a white-knuckle experience. You got to give us... You got to give us a little leniency. We have not practiced this. Well, we actually did a verse during the commercial break, but we have not practiced this. Yes, we have the lyrics up. It's going to be bad, but it's going to be fun. And I hope that in the true spirit of any given singer, you will remember us and leave a little something in our tip jar after this performance. You know, the show does need support. We normally try to solicit your support based upon the work we do in the court of public opinion in politics. But tonight, if you like the song, give us a donation at the political. Let us live with ourselves. If we get $100 as a result of this, we'll say that, hey, it was a success. You know, at least we have that to show for our embarrassment here. And the thing about The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance is that it's probably the longest song recorded in the 60s. It's like a 10-minute long song. So we'll see what we can get. All right, guys, I'm going to count down. Sam Bushman is keeping the beat at the network in Utah. If we get too loud or not loud enough, I'm going to try to place this station microphone here in Memphis in between the three of us here. I wish you could see this, folks. We're all leaning in. It's a little bit discomforting, but here we go. The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance by Gene Pitney. Now, I'm going to count down from three, and we're going to start with the first verse. Try to keep up, guys. Here we go. On 3, 2, 1, when Liberty Valance rode to town, the women folk would hide, they'd hide. Eddie? When Liberty Valance walked around, the men would step aside, because the point of a gun was the only law the Liberty understood when it came to shooting straight and fast. He was mighty good. From out of the east, a stranger came, a law book in his hand. A man, the kind of a man the West would need to tame a troubled land. Because the point of a gun was the only law that Liberty understood when it came to shooting straight and fast. He was mighty good. Many a man would face his gun, many a man would fall. The man who shot Liberty Valance, he shot Liberty Valance. He was the bravest of them all. Now here's the part in the real song where a fiddle would come in for a little solo. But we're going to go straight to the next verse.
The love of a girl can make a
the love of a girl, Eddie, not the love of a man.
Too correct. All
right, again.
The love of a girl can make a man stay on when he should go. Stay on. Just trying to build a peaceful life where love is free to grow. But the point of a gun was the only law the Liberty understood when the final showdown came at last. A law book was no good. Alone and afraid, she prayed that he'd return that fateful night. All that night, when nothing she said could keep her man from going out to fight. From a moment a girl gets to be full grown, the very first thing she learned, when two men go out to face each other, only one returns. Everyone heard two shots ring out. A shot made Liberty fall. The man who shot Liberty Valance, he shot Liberty Valance.
He was the bravest of them all.
All right, that's it. Eddie, you're kicked out of the group officially. You messed up. Now, look, I need Winston Smith. Even deaf Winston could do better than you. Look, yeah, your glasses didn't do it. You did, look. You went to the high parts when it was still in ballad mode. You went to ballad when it was supposed to go up. You said the love of a man can make a man stay all the way. Yeah, Eddie, you've disgraced this program. Look, you've disgraced us tonight. Me and Keith are going to go out on the road with this. You're like the guy from the Beatles that broke his leg.
Pete Best.
Who took his place, Keith? Ringo?
Ringo, yeah. Oh, Ringo.
You're at. No, you're not Ringo. You're the guy that Ringo took the place of. You broke it. All right, so we apologize for that, folks. We had to kick. The horrific singing blew some fuses in the studio here, and somehow we got disconnected. That was actually not. Well, I guess it was a coincidence, but it was not on purpose. The fact that we lost our signal there for a few seconds. Did we make it through the song, Sam, before the audio distorted? Okay. So. Eddie's singing knocked us off air. It was so bad they cut us off. But, all right, Keith. Anyway, we're back now. Actually, that was a pretty bizarre coincidence. The fact that we had an absolute technical anomaly on the heels of our a cappella singing. I don't know what to make of that. That's the Lord speaking to us. Perhaps he's saying we should never do that again.
Amen to that. I tell you what I would like to do, though, is play some bumper music of these type of songs, like The Hanging Tree by Marty Robbins, or Gunfight at OK Corral by Frankie Lane, or Ringo by Lorne Green, who is Jewish, by the way. When Jewish guys are great, we are more than willing to give them their credit. But we're getting back now to the meat of the coconut, what we talk about all the time. James, take it away.
All right, Keith, I'm so disconnected now from the program after that I don't even know what we were talking about. I believe I was talking about the fact that Davy Crockett is a hero of mine. The song talks about him whipping the creeks. You go to the Children's Museum of Memphis, the only good thing that ever happened in this region was that the Chickasaws once lived here. Then we had the racist conquistadors, the racist Southerners who actually built the cities, and then Martin Luther King thankfully came in to play and as our saving grace. But and I compared and contrasted that to the Roman aqueducts. You know, 2,000 years ago, Romans were doing more than the indigenous population was doing at the time of the settlement of white culture here. You can probably tile that together into a cohesive point, Keith.
Yeah, what I would say is this. The natives of North America, the mestizos, the Indians, whatever you want to call them, hadn't even developed a wheel, the use of the wheel, by the time the white man came to the New World and everything that they, you know, for example, and they were not these peace-loving early environmentalists that the left likes to portray them as being. Instead, what actually, they were bloodthirsty savages. And, for example, the mound builders were wiped out by the Chickasaws, these Chickasaws that are extolled as being these sweet, kindly, wise, tuned in to Mother Nature people, wiped out one another, and they wiped out the mound builders, and basically all they did was build some mounds. But that was the highest level of civilization, the highest level of joint cooperative venture that we had in what is now the United States as a result of the activities of the native population. So, like you said, we know about the guilt, where's the gratitude? Everybody that lives in a first world environment today has white people to thank for that, James.
Keith, we just got an email in from the Lord of the Board, our former producer, Art Frith, who said, "Oh, my God, my ears." Winston Smith is
Lucky he's deaf after tonight's show. Although Courtney from Alabama, who you referenced earlier in the broadcast, said that was great, and I love the reference to the Beatles afterwards. So one man's piece of you-know-what is another man's work of art.
One man's trash is another man's treasure, I think, is the cliche you were searching for, okay?
You handed the mic back over to me as if I'm expected to go somewhere after all this. I don't even know what you said when you were talking. I'm so... thank God there's a break. There's our music, and so we're going to take a time out, mercifully. We'll be back, and I don't know what we're going to get into. God doesn't even know, but he does, but we'll find out.
We'll return. Are you familiar with the term vigor? Strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example? Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. Warriors, you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Read about it in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign is a monthly 24-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about life during wartime in the age of Obama. Warriors, keep to date every month. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance, available at newsstands everywhere. This alert is for all you boppers out there in the big city, all you street people with an ear for the action. This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. This is Mercy. Mine will be the last voice you will ever hear. Don't be alarmed.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
When Liberty Valance rode to town, the women folk would hide, they'd hide. When Liberty Valance walked around, the men would step aside. Because the point of a gun was the only law that Liberty understood. When it came to shooting straight and fast, he was mighty good. out of the east, a stranger came, a law book in his hand. Oh man, the kind of a man the West would need to tame a troubled land. 'Cause the point of a gun was the only law that liberty understood. When it came to shooting straight and fast, he was mighty good.
Many a man would face his gun, and many a man would fall. The man who shot Liberty Valance, he shot Liberty Valance.
He was the bravest of them all.
All right, everybody. Hey, that's how it is supposed to sound. A little bit of a contrast there. And I guarantee you, if you listen to the rest of the song, in no verse would you find where Gene Pitney's saying, the love of a man made the love of a man made the man stay home on that fateful night. But that was Eddie's version of it. I mean, that was Eddie's, you know, Eddie was, you know, singing it the way he...
He sang the politically correct revised version of today's America, James. That's what he did.
Well, look, I mean, should we just end the show? I mean, I know we got a sheriff coming on in the third hour. Should we end the show? No. I mean, could it possibly get better than where we are? Could it possibly get any better than we've had Martin Luther King's? We've had, or any worse, depending on your perspective. We've had Martin Luther King's niece on. We've had
Eddie singing about.
Look, we sang the man who shot Liberty Valance. Oh, folks, listen now. I'm serious now. Let's get serious here. Make us feel better about ourselves. Now we did that. We castrated ourselves in public. Now give us a tip. I at least need somebody to make a $25 donation. Put 25 in the tip jug at thepoliticalcesspool.org, so we don't feel like complete and utter jackasses for what we've done tonight. You know, if we did it for $25, well, we'd sacrifice our dignity. We don't want to do it for free. Look, folks, we don't want to do it for free. We don't want to make fools of ourselves for free. If you enjoyed our effort, I'm not going to say if you enjoyed the song. If you enjoyed our effort, let it be known that that effort was worth something in the political cesspool's coffers that will help our show move forward. A dollar from a million people makes $1 million. I mean, you see where I'm going with that.
Well, what you can do, too, you can use a tape of that rendition of The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance, and I play it enough, and you'll run all the rats and mice out of your home.
Well, it's like garlic for Dracula. The next time you're in a debate with a liberal or you're getting unwanted advances from a liberal, you can play our version of Gene Pitney's song, and it'll scare him away. So, you know, we're giving you something that you can use. But, yeah, help us feel better about ourselves, folks. This is beneath us. All right, let's try to get back to some semblance of political commentary tonight. Russia, Keith, holding the line on marriage, as we talked about on our website this week. This is out of Moscow. Kissing his boyfriend, the story reads. Eddie, this song might be this article. No, we're just kidding. I mean, if there is one man in the studio tonight, it's the bombardier. But the very married and heterosexual bombardier. We all rag each other. I mean, that's the point. You know, it's all in good fun. But kissing his boyfriend during a protest in front of Russia's parliament earned Pavel Sambarov 30 hours of detention and the equivalent of a $16 fine on the charge of hooliganism. But if a bill that comes up for a first vote later this month becomes law, such a kiss could be defined as illegal homosexual propaganda and bring a fine of up to $16,000. The legislation being pushed by the Kremlin and the Russian Orthodox Church would make it illegal nationwide to provide minors with information that is defined as a propaganda of sodomy, lesbianism, bisexuality, and transgenderism. It includes a ban on holding public events that promote gay rights. St. Petersburg and a number of other Russian cities already have similar laws on their books. The bill is part of an effort to promote traditional Russian values as opposed to Western liberalism, which the Kremlin and the church see as corrupting youth and by extension contributing to the current trends. Keith, this is outstanding news. God bless Russia. God bless Russia. Russia, the Russian state and the Russian Orthodox Church is working in unison for a common good. Could you imagine something like that happening here? Is Russia the key to our survival?
Well, I tell you, Well, and he wants to sing the Russian national anthem after that. I will say this. We've had plenty of people from Eastern Europe, like Tom Sunik and Serge Trifkovich, who have said that Soviet-style communism was less invasive and less intrusive on the thought processes of the average citizen than Western political correctness. We've said this many times before. Political correctness is a soft tyranny. They don't arrest you at midnight, drag you down to the basement of the Lubyanka and put a bullet in the base of your brain like they do in, or they did in the Soviet Union at the height of Bolshevism and Stalinism. But on the other hand, you could talk freely with your neighbor about topics that are totally off of limits to average Americans nowadays. They're trying to get your children to turn you in now, like you used to see these propaganda films about Nazism and whatnot, or the communists turning in their, you know, the children like a bunch of zombies turning in their parents. That's what they are angling for now in America. And Sunik, Serge Trifkovich, people like this, have said that basically, from the vantage point today, Soviet communism, the old classical communism, was a blessing because it kept out the cultural Marxism of liberalism that has basically swept through the West, Western Europe, America, Australia, New Zealand, places like this, and is rotting out our culture. They still have healthy conservative instincts, social instincts, in the Soviet Union. And like I said, Putin is apparently a better friend of conservatism than any American president that we've had really in the latter half of the 20th century.
Now, compare and contrast what the Russian government and the Russian church, and this is how church and state should work, for the benefit of the common good, not for the benefit of perverts. And let's just, you know, today's perverts are yesterday's victim class. You know, the newest victim class is perverts, and that's what they are. That's all they are. I don't hate them, but it's not healthy. It's not natural. It's not moral. It's not Christian. It's not decent. It's not appropriate. And so, but in Russia, you have the government and the church working together for the common good. Now, fast forward back to the Western world, where we have, did you know, Keith, and you would know if you've been to the website this week, we only have about 2 minutes left in this hour, so we got to make it quick. Scientists are now looking for a female surrogate to carry the embryo of Neanderthal DNA. Basically, they want a female they're calling for an adventurous woman to serve as a surrogate mother for Neanderthal DNA. And the reason for that is that, according to the scientist who is putting on this, Neanderthals could have a different way of thinking that is far greater than ours, and it would benefit diversity to repopulate the world. This is serious. This is serious. I can't say what Eddie just said. I can't say what Eddie just said, as much as I agree with it and believe in it. I can't say what Eddie just said, but Keith, Jurassic Park, you ever seen it? Did you ever think you'd live to see it actually happen?
I tell you what, the truth is stranger than fiction, as they say, and, you know, this shows you how absolutely absurd this slavish devotion to the cult of diversity and multiculturalism and multiracialism is in the West now, that they're basically telling us that we have a lot to learn from the Neanderthals. You know, and this is Franz Boas on LSD, I guess. This is, you know, Franz Boas was the Jewish expert, quote unquote, who transformed anthropology from a hard science into the softest of soft social sciences with his idea of cultural relativism. Margaret Mead was one of his primary students, and even she began to see the absurdity of it all by the end of her life. But the idea that all cultures are the same, all races are the same, everybody is like a soybean, you know, race is a very trivial matter, all of this is now finding its ultimate expression in this attempt to recreate Neanderthal man through the wonders of modern biological research.
All right, Keith, we're running out of time this hour, but I got to say this. I'm disappointed in the audience, and I don't mind saying that after what we put on the line tonight. What I asked for was a very modest donation, $25 or less, from everyone who emailed me saying they wanted us to sing. Now, give us a dollar if you could do that. I mean, I do. a penny even. I just want one. Instead of everybody who sent me an email asking us to sing, how about one? Just show me that the donation system still works. I want one person who asked us to sing to send us a donation. $25, $1 a cent. Come on, help us out, folks. We're feeling pretty bad about ourselves. Now, obviously, if it was much better, we could have gotten a little bit of money for the show. It's not for ourselves. It's to keep the show going. I know you want it, Keith, but this hour's done. All right, you got 1 second.
Okay, we need to all keep our day jobs is obviously the message we're getting.
All right, go to thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation if you heard the song. I'm not going to say if you enjoyed it. If you help us out. Hey, third hour, we're going to have a sheriff on. Get ready. Load up. Saddle up.